Imagine spending like thousands of dollars perfectly lighting, shooting, and editing this pristine product video.
Oh, yeah, a huge budget just for one video.
Right. You get the color grading just right. The script is totally flawless. The transitions are, incredibly smooth. You post it, and your ideal customer scrolls past it in exactly 0.5 seconds because it looks, quote unquote, too perfect.
Yeah, it's brutal. But welcome to 2026, right? Polish is literally, well, it's actively penalized by the consumer now.
Exactly. The fastest way to kill your brand's credibility today is to look like you tried too hard.
It is a massive behavioral shift. I mean, we're seeing consumers develop this highly tuned radar for anything manufactured.
Yeah, and their immediate response is to just like keep scrolling.
Exactly, just right past it.
Which is exactly why we are jumping into a really compelling set of seminar notes for today's deep dive.
Oh, these notes are fantastic.
They really are. We're looking at the strategies from a recent social media update seminar at the Crossroads Carmel. It was led by the leadership team over at the Social Studio. So that's Autumn Casey, Fanny Martinez, and Joseph Ramirez.
Right, and they've mapped out exactly how the digital landscape is operating right now.
And more importantly, how you, the listener, can actually navigate it without losing your mind.
Yeah, because what's incredibly valuable about these sources is that they don't just give you, like, vague theories, you know?
Oh, not at all.
They provide a real structural framework.
Right, and for you listening today, our mission is to give you the ultimate shortcut to mastering the centerpiece of their strategy, which they call Module 5. Building your content calendar.
Yeah. And we are not just talking about remembering to post a picture on a Tuesday.
No, no. We're breaking down the mechanics of the what, the where, and the why of your entire 2026 strategy. From decoding algorithm intent to mapping out content pillars and then eventually layering in targeted paid social.
It's a lot, but it's so important.
It is. Okay, let's unpack this.
So it really has to start with a fundamental mindset shift. Because before you can build a content calendar, you have to understand the environment that your content is actually entering.
Right, because the rules have changed completely.
Completely. The rules of engagement have completely inverted compared to even just like a few years ago.
And the phrase that the Social Studio uses, which I think just perfectly captures this exact moment, is AI slop.
Oh, it's such a visceral term, isn't it?
It really is. The notes highlight that the 2026 consumer is fundamentally allergic to AI slop. And I mean, we need to look at why that is.
Yeah, let's break that down.
Because if I'm running a small business, my instinct is to just use AI for everything, right? Because it's cheap, it's fast, and it looks highly produced. So why is that suddenly a bad thing?
Well, what's fascinating here is the psychological whiplash of the market. I mean, for a decade, the barrier to entry for marketing was high production value.
Right. You needed a whole team.
Exactly. You needed a studio, a copywriter, a designer. So consumers inherently associated Polish with premium brands.
That makes sense.
But once artificial intelligence made flawless execution ubiquitous and, well, basically free, perfection instantly lost its signaling power.
Oh, wow. It became the new baseline.
Exactly. When every single post looks like a flawless rendering, the human brain stops processing it as valuable information and starts filtering it out as noise.
Or slop.
Or yeah. Slop, exactly.
So the brands winning right now are leaning totally the other way. They're intentionally looking more human, more raw, and like less highly produced.
Precisely. Authenticity is the premium currency now because it's the one thing AI actually struggles to replicate genuinely.
Like the little mistakes.
Yes, a slight stutter, a genuine laugh, a shadow in the background. Those imperfections are algorithmic gold right now because they actually prove human life exists behind the account.
That is so interesting, which perfectly sets up how they define organic social in the seminar. They call it a living storefront window.
I love that analogy.
Right. And the timeline they emphasize here is critical. People aren't just checking your Instagram while they stand outside your physical door. They are checking your digital storefront weeks before they ever decide to visit your business.
Oh, absolutely. You have to view it through the lens of consumer behavior. When someone searches your brand, they are looking for a vibe check.
The vibe check, yeah.
They want to see the aesthetic, the tone, you know, the actual people who work there. If that digital window is just a wall of manufactured, soulless graphics, they just keep walking.
Well, the seminar is very strict about what organic social is not, too.
Yes, very strict.
First, it is not an instant sales machine. I mean, if you're expecting to post a raw video today and double your revenue tomorrow, you were playing the wrong game.
Completely the wrong game. It's for slow build relationships.
Right. Second, it's not just a product catalog. And third, and this is the big one, It is not a megaphone.
Oh, the megaphone trap. That is where like 90% of businesses fail on social media.
But let me challenge that on behalf of the listener because, you know, time is money. Treating social media like a megaphone is like going to a dinner party and just shouting your resume at the room. I get that.
Right. Nobody likes that guy.
No. But if I'm dedicating hours every week to filming and engaging, and you're telling me organic social isn't a sales machine, how on earth do I justify the ROI of that time?
Yeah, it's a completely fair question. The justification really comes down to the mechanics of trust. The seminar notes explicitly state that posting without replying is just shouting into the void.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so if you use social media as a megaphone, if you're just broadcasting your sales pitch without engaging it to, you actually trigger the algorithm to suppress your content.
Because people aren't interacting with it.
Exactly. Organic social builds the baseline of trust. It proves to the consumer and to the algorithm that you are an active, listening entity.
And that trust is what leads to the sales.
Precisely. That trust is the mandatory prerequisite. You basically can't harvest what you haven't planted.
That makes total sense. And they provide actual benchmarks to measure if our planting is working, which is great.
Oh, yeah. The data is very clear here.
According to the notes, a strong engagement rate is between 4 and 8% if your community is under 10,000 followers. But if you cross that 10,000 mark, a good engagement rate drops significantly down to just 1 to 3%.
Which logically feels backwards to a lot of people, I think.
Right. You assume a bigger audience means more engagement.
You would think so. But mathematically, as a community scales, the intimacy dilutes. The algorithm serves your content to a wider, like less targeted ring of people.
Oh, I see.
So maintaining a 4 to 8% engagement rate with a small, hyper-local audience is actually a massive signal to the platform. It means your specific digital storefront is actively stopping foot traffic.
Okay, so we have the human-centric mindset down. We are ditching the AI slop. And we're building a storefront, not a megaphone.
Right.
Now we have to figure out where we are actually building this storefront.
Yes. You have to understand the specific intent of each digital neighborhood before you sign a lease, so to speak.
Exactly. Now, we all know what these platforms are, generally. But the Carmel seminar forces us to look at them through the lens of consumer intent and these specific archetypes.
Mm-hmm. Let's go through them.
So Instagram is the do-it-all.
Right.
Visually appealing. Facebook is the OG for diverse community building. TikTok is viral video for younger audiences.
Yeah.
Pinterest is the inspiration hub. Threads is focused convos, kind of like X. And LinkedIn is business first.
Now, the danger here is looking at that list and feeling a sudden, massive wave of panic.
Yes.
People think they need to be producing native content for all six platforms simultaneously.
Right. Like, do I actually need to be dancing on TikTok and posting thought leadership on LinkedIn at the exact same time?
Mm.
Or can I just pick one?
Mm-hmm.
Because that sounds like a full-time job for an entire agency.
No, you absolutely do not need to do all of them. And this is where we really have to separate the tools from the strategy. Platforms are just tools. You select the platform where your target demographic actually hangs out naturally, and then you match your brand's native language to the platform's intent.
Give me an example of that.
Well, when a user opens TikTok, their brain is chemically primed for high dopamine entertainment. If you are a B2B consulting firm and you interrupt that entertainment feed with a dry corporate slide deck, you don't just get ignored. The algorithm actively penalizes you for breaking the user's intent.
Oh, wow. That's a great point.
Yeah.
And conversely, if you are a local boutique selling handmade jewelry, pouring hours into LinkedIn thought leadership isn't going to drive foot traffic.
Right. Because people on LinkedIn are in a networking mindset, not a retail shopping mindset.
Exactly. Pick the tool that matches your demographic's intent. Master one or two storefronts before you ever try to open a third.
Master one first. Always.
Okay. That significantly lowers the blood pressure. Now that we know our platforms, we transition into the absolute core of this deep dive.
Module 5.
Yes. How do we take this human mindset and our chosen platform and organize it so we aren't waking up in a cold sweat every morning wondering what to post? We are diving into building the content calendar.
A strong content calendar is literally the central nervous system of your entire marketing operation. It maps out the exact what, where, and why.
And the sources detail 5 distinct elements that every functional calendar needs.
Yeah.
We have content pillars or themes. We have the platform breakdown.
Right.
We have key dates like holidays and campaigns.
Yeah.
We have formats, meaning is this a story, a reel, a static post? And finally, ownership and deadlines.
Let's actually start with that last one because it really feels like the most operational.
We'll do it.
Ownership is where the theory actually hits reality. In a small team, if a post is universally assigned to, quote, the team, it belongs to no one.
Right. Everyone thinks someone else is doing it.
Exactly. If a reel needs to go live on Friday, who is scripting it on Tuesday? Who is actually filming it on Wednesday? Who is editing and scheduling it on Thursday? If you don't map that out on the calendar, you end up scrambling on Friday afternoon and posting low-quality content just to check a box.
It's the difference between a real strategy and just a wish list.
Oh.
But let's get into the creative meat of this, the first element, content pillars.
Oh, this is the most crucial psychological framework in the entire seminar.
The sources heavily spotlight one specific pillar called the invite pillar. This is your events, your offers, your direct asks, things like trunk shows, a wine tasting, a class sign up, or, a Mother's Day special. There is a massive unbreakable rule tied to this.
Yes, there is.
The invite pillar is the absolute only pillar where you're allowed to explicitly ask your audience for something.
It is the ultimate boundary, and it literally dictates the rhythm of your entire calendar.
So what does this all mean? Like for the listener who has to sit down and map out 30 days of content right now.
Well, think of your social media feed like a television network.
Yeah.
If a TV channel decided to fire all their writers and only broadcast commercials 24 hours a day, just nonstop, buy this, sign up for this, click the link in bio, you would unsubscribe from that channel immediately.
Yeah, you would never tune in voluntarily.
Right. To keep people watching, you need the sitcoms, the dramas, the documentaries. You need education, humor, and behind-the-scenes reality.
And so the commercials, your invite pillars,
Yeah.
only work because they are sandwiched between that high-value entertainment.
Exactly. I love the TV network analogy because it really highlights the necessity of rhythm. If you only post beautiful product shots, your living storefront just turns into a static catalog.
Right and boring.
And if you only post trending audio memes, you become a joke page and people won't take your actual product seriously. Content pillars force a balanced diet.
So you are providing value, educating, entertaining, inspiring roughly 80% of the time.
Yes, you are constantly making deposits into the trust bank.
Which earns you the right to make a withdrawal the other 20% of the time.
Precisely. When that invite post finally hits their feed, they don't immediately scroll past it. They've already received so much value from your sitcoms and documentaries that they are actually receptive to your commercial.
Let's ground this in a real example to make it totally
Oh,
actionable.
right here.
Let's say you run a boutique wine shop in Carmel. If you're building your Module 5 calendar for May, your pillars might be education, behind the scenes, local community, and invite.
Perfect.
Your education post is like a quick video on the right temperature to serve a specific red. Your behind the scenes is the raw, unedited clip of your team unpacking a rare shipment. Your community post is highlighting a local cheese shop down the street. All of that is high signal human value.
And crucially, none of it asks the customer to open their wallet.
Exactly. So when Friday rolls around and you deploy that invite pillar post saying, "We have a tasting event tonight, 20 spots left, link in bio to buy tickets," the audience doesn't feel fatigued.
No, they feel invited.
They do.
You've created a predictable, engaging rhythm. But, and this is where the strategy really has to evolve, even the most perfectly balanced 80-20 organic calendar eventually hits a mathematical wall.
Right. Organic reach is completely capped by the platform's algorithm.
It is.
Even if your digital storefront window is incredible, it can only be seen by the people who happen to digitally walk down your specific street.
Yep. So to break past that algorithmic ceiling, you have to shift from building the community to strategically buying reach.
You have to add fuel to the engine.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the final piece of the strategy, amplifying with paid social. And the seminar notes are very specific about the relationship here. Paid social relies completely on the organic foundation.
100%.
You use paid ads as the fuel to push your top-performing organic content out to a wider audience.
Because if your organic foundation is terrible, paying to boost it won't fix the problem.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting, and I want to genuinely challenge this tactic for a second.
Okay, let's hear it.
This strategy explicitly says to put your paid fuel behind your top-performing organic content. So let's say my wine shop education video naturally hit that golden 8% engagement rate. It's doing great on its own.
Right.
Why on earth would I pay Facebook to show people a video that is already working? Shouldn't I take my ad budget and push the video that only got 1% engagement to help it reach more eyes and balance things out.
It's a very common instinct, actually. You want to save the failing post.
Exactly.
But if we connect this to the bigger picture of how the algorithm processes data, paying to boost a bad post is like buying a massive billboard for a restaurant that just gave everyone food poisoning.
Oh, ouch. That's a visual.
Right. You aren't fixing the food. You're just paying a premium to advertise a stomachache to a much wider radius.
Oh.
The algorithm has already told you people don't like that post.
Okay, when you put it like that, it sounds like a terrible investment.
It really is. But when you have a top-performing organic post, that piece of content has mathematically proven its concept. It has scientifically proven that it stops the scroll, holds attention, and resonates with human beings.
Yeah, it's already a winner.
Exactly. Paid advertising simply takes that proven concept and weaponizes it to find net new customers.
And the mechanics of how it finds those new customers are incredible. The targeting capabilities are just wild.
Oh, they're almost surgical at this point.
The sources outline a few specific ways this works. You have lookalike audiences, and you have Facebook pixel remarketing. Can we demystify those for a second?
Right, absolutely.
Because pixel remarketing sounds like highly technical jargon, but the mechanism is actually pretty straightforward, isn't it?
It is, yeah. A pixel is just a tiny, invisible line of code you place on your actual website.
Okay.
So let's say someone clicks a link in your bio, browses your site, looks at a specific $50 bottle of wine, but gets distracted and leaves without buying.
Happens all the time.
Right. That pixel essentially taps Facebook on the shoulder and says, hey, next time this specific person opens their app, show them an ad for that exact $50 bottle. It is just a highly targeted reminder system.
And then lookalike audiences take it a step further, right?
They do.
Facebook looks at the 500 people who follow and engage with your organic content. It analyzes the thousands of hidden data points those people share, what other pages they like, their purchasing behaviors, their demographics.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes out and finds 10,000 total strangers who have the exact same digital brain wiring. And it serves your proven ad directly to them.
Exactly. You are basically paying the platform to confidently scale a winning formula to people who are statistically predisposed to like it.
But the ad itself has to be structured perfectly to catch them.
Yeah.
The seminar provides the exact anatomy of a high-converting ad, and man, the constraints are incredibly tight.
They really are.
You need a branded handle, an image or video, a display URL, and then two very specific text elements. Primary text that is strictly limited to 125 to 225 characters, and a punchy headline that is exactly 40 characters or less next to a call to action button.
Yeah, and those character limits are not arbitrary suggestions.
Right.
They are entirely dictated by the hardware and the actual scroll speed of the user.
So if you write like a 45 character headline, what happens?
It gets physically truncated on a mobile screen. It just gets cut off.
Oh, right.
And the moment a user has to click read more on an ad from a brand they don't even know, you've introduced friction. They will literally just keep scrolling. That 40 character limit forces you to distill your value proposition into an instant frictionless hook.
It essentially forces you to be a better copywriter.
Exactly.
And there's one final brilliant targeting tactic they highlight for local businesses, specifically relevant to this Carmel seminar. They talk about using tight geographic tags, specifically tagging Carmel in your paid social.
Oh, this is the intersection of digital intent and physical proximity.
Exactly. The notes point out that by geofencing your ads to that specific tag, you aren't just hitting the locals. You are intercepting the massive volume of tourist traffic coming off Highway 1.
That's so smart.
Right. Someone is sitting in the passenger seat of a car driving down the coast. They open Instagram and boom, they see a highly targeted 40-character ad for your wine tasting that is literally happening 2 miles away.
You are intercepting them digitally as they drive past physically.
It is an incredibly powerful way to turn digital impressions into immediate physical foot traffic.
It really is.
Well, we have covered an immense amount of ground today. To synthesize everything we've just unpacked from the Social Studio seminar, you now have the blueprint to execute a phase-i social audit on your own operation.
Absolutely.
You know exactly why you must abandon the AI slop and focus on building a raw, human, living storefront. You know how to match your brand's tone to the specific intent of the platform you choose. You have the 5 necessary elements to actually build out your Module 5 content calendar and, you know, the unbreakable golden rule of the invite pillar. And finally, you understand the mechanics of using paid ads to pour fuel on your top-performing, mathematically proven organic content.
It is a phenomenal, highly actionable roadmap for navigating the 2026 landscape.
It really is.
But, you know, looking at the entire philosophy of this source material, I am left with a rather provocative question that I think we all really need to mull over as the technology continues to evolve.
I always love these. What's the question?
Well, if the core thesis of 2026 is that consumers are completely allergic to manufactured perfection, right?
Right.
And they are only rewarding raw human-looking content. What happens to our digital landscape when brands inevitably start using advanced AI to mathematically manufacture those exact authentic imperfections?
Oh.
Like, when an AI algorithm learns exactly how to simulate a stutter, a shaky camera, or, you know, a messy background just to trick the algorithm and the consumer, how will we ever tell the difference between true human connection and a highly simulated organic reality?
That is manufactured imperfections as the new algorithmic hack.
Yeah.
That is both brilliant and a terrifyingly plausible next step for the digital storefront.
Yeah.
That is absolutely something to chew on.
Yeah, it's definitely coming.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Now is the perfect time to grab a notebook, sit down, and start sketching out those content pillars in your Module 5 calendar.
Definitely.
Because while the digital landscape might be constantly shifting, you now have the mechanics to navigate it. Keep building.